book of the Revelation, chapter number 3. I appreciate the Sunday school message this morning. It goes right along with what I had prepared today, and I'm not going to change my outline because somebody else done preached it. We just have double barrel preaching this morning. A little preaching ain't going to hurt you no how. The reason we're in this, cause lack of preaching. America's not been hurt by hard preaching. It's been hurt cause the lack of hard preaching. Before we get started, I want to say this. I'm glad you're here today. I don't take it lightly of where you are, because I know you had a choice where you could go today. And I appreciate you being here this morning. But I'm going to tell you this, if we don't get a glimpse of Him, we wasted our gas to where we went today. It is my heart that we would have a church here where Christ would be honored, Christ would be glorified. It's not about me and it's not about you, but it's all about Him. God said that He might have the preeminence in the church. That's the fourth right. That's His God-given right to be king of this church. And ain't ne'er one family going to run it long as I'm the preacher here. Ain't no three families going to run it long as I'm preacher here. And I won't tell you what, if He can't run it, we might as well lock the door and go to the house. Because I belong to enough clubs, and this ain't one. This ain't a fellowship. This ain't a community center. This ain't a car show venue. They called wanting to have a car show here. I said, you ain't throwing your cigarettes on our parking lot. And you ain't kicking your beer cans out down here neither. This is the house of God. It's ought to be a holy place. Ought to be a place we realize we're here to hear from God, nobody else. You hear this morning, you may not have the nice clothes to wear. We're just glad you're here. I'm glad you've come to be a part of the service. And I hope you'll get in on what we're doing here. It's all walks of life represented in this building today, except two people I'm still looking for them. Doctors and lawyers. It'd be a blessing to have somebody give you a shot in the back room. Amen. I preach in Louisiana. They have their own staff doctor. It's a blessing. He just bring his doctor bag to church. Keep you out of the waiting room with all them sick people. Revelation 3 now. If you're glad you're here this morning, say amen. If you enjoyed the singing, say amen today. Revelation 3 verse 14. Unto the angel of the church of, underline this, the Laodicean. Right, these things saith amen, the faithful and the true witness, the beginning of the creation of God. I know thy works, that thou art neither cold nor hot. I would thou wert cold or hot. So then, because thou art lukewarm, neither cold nor hot, I'll spew you out of my mouth. Because thou sayest, I'm rich and increased with goods, and I have need of nothing. Knowest not, thou art wretched, poor, blind, and naked. I counsel thee to buy me gold tried in the fire, that thou mayest be rich in white raiment, thou mayest be clothed in thy shame of thy nakedness. Do not appear and anoint thine eyes with eye salve, that thou mayest see. As many as I love, I rebuke and chasten. Be zealous, therefore, and repent. Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man hear my voice and open the door, I'll come into him, and I'll sup with him, and he with me. To him that overcometh will I grant to set me in thy throne, even as I also overcame. Now I am set down with my Father in his throne. You want to know where he is? That's where he is this morning. He's still on the throne. And he that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches. Father, we love you today. We thank you for this good time together. You've allowed us, God, in a free country together. Lord, we've come here today to worship you in spirit and truth. Help us with our spirit. Help us to share the truth, God, that we may worship You, that You would not be offended. I pray, Lord, You let preaching be easy. There's no preaching, God, within myself. And I realize unless the Holy One comes down, it will only be words. But I pray You'd touch us. You'd anoint us afresh and use us. Forgive me, God, of where I failed You. Forgive me of my wickedness. God, my sinful ways. Forgive me, I pray, in Christ's name. Amen and amen. Thank You for standing this morning of honoring the reading of the Word of God. I'd like to preach out of this text verse today, of this passage. He said in verse 16, "So then, because thou art lukewarm and neither cold nor hot, I will spew you out of my mouth." And I want to preach on the church that makes God sick this morning. The church that makes God sick. I'd like to ask you today, if we had a scale up on this column from 10 being the highest, 1 to being the lowest, and in your Christian aptitude, and your Christian attitude, and in your Christian fervency, and your walk with God, where would you be on that poll this morning? Would you be a 1? Would you be a 5? Would you be a 10? Would you be a 3, a 4, a 6? Where would you be on the scale with God this morning in walking with Him? You say, "Well, preacher, I'll be honest with you. I'm doing pretty good. I'm about middle of the road. I'm a 5, a 6. God said it makes Him sick. He said you right in between two places where you can get help. He said, number one, if you're as cold as a wedge, it'd be help for you. And He said, if you're as hot as fire, said that'd be a great blessing. But He said, you caught up in between there in some place, and He said, there ain't a lot of hope for you. He said, because you think you have need of nothing. You would think, you know, as an employer, a lot of times I had a lot of employees hitting on about a 5. A lot of times I just wish they'd hit on a 4+. Isn't that right? And by the way, young boys, you ain't going to get no job with your pants on the ground. Put your belt in your britches. You can't help nobody work. You got both hands on your britches holding them up. Ain't nobody going to hire you with both hands tied up and your cap sideways. Turn your bill down. Put you a good redneck crease in it for the glory of God. Quit wearing them flat caps and them skinny jeans. Somebody say amen right there. Get off them skinny jeans. Get you some Levi's and some Brogan shoes and be a real boy for the glory of God. You girls, quit painting your fingernails dark and dressing out and all that black stuff. Let me tell you, life's going to deal with you enough tragedy as it is. You better be hunting the sunny side up this morning, hon. Boy, we live in a generation where we think, well, God, I'm at a 5. That's pretty good. But let's look what He says. I think if we would read our Bible, turn me up there, Brother Chris. Some folks got me turned down. I'm going to blow them off the pew this morning. But you know, you would think, and I'll be honest with you, when we think of our mentality and the things that we've been taught and things we do, that middle of the road's pretty good, and I know we need to be balanced. That's a total different message. But in your fervency, in your heart for God, He says if you're just in the middle of the road, He said He don't like that. See, in this Laodicean church, this is what the deal was. That's right straddle of the fence. And I don't know if you've ever noticed this, but if you right straddle of something, you can't go no place. I mean, you're just glad and happy to be there. I mean, you're relaxed in all of your luxuries. And you say, man, everything's good. Preacher, what's up with you? Well, look what Jesus says. He says that when we straddle the fence, He don't like that. They're fence setters. They're compromisers. They're people that ain't really got enough heat to warm nobody about nothing. I love it when Brother Donald gets stirred up and watch our visitors. Brother Donald now, he's closer to 85 than he is 70. And he runs around like a 16-year-old. Why? Because he loves his Lord. And folks, let me tell you that it's so easy just to get comfortable, isn't it? Man, God's blessed us and we work and we pay our tithes and we've got one of the greatest giving churches in America. We've got one of the greatest ministries in the Southeast. You say, why do you know that? Because I've been in enough places to realize what we got down in Liberty Baptist Church. Let me tell you, what's going on in this church ain't going on everywhere in America this morning. There's formalism that's went on. Some of you won't like this, but I think the Roman Catholic Church makes God sick. They got men dressed up in their gowns. You won't like that, but it won't offend me if you leave this morning. And I can tell you one thing, honey. You can talk to a man through a knot hole in a phone booth all you want to. He can't do nothing with your sin. Jesus said He's the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes to the Father except by Him. Man, they're caught up in their orthodoxy and they're caught up in all their religials and their rituals and they're sprinkling this and that and they're so dignified. Can I tell you, Jesus said, you ought to shout when you come to the house of God. You ought to enjoy who I am. You ought to remember what I've done for you and don't sit there like a bump on a log. Now, I am reminded over in Luke's Gospel, I've just come up and a lot of you think, well, I've not been raised to do that in church. Well, get in on it. I'm trying to lead you where it's right. I'm not trying to read you into some type of sanctimonious ceremonies. I'm trying to teach you how to worship God in spirit and in truth. Now, Jesus saved 10 boys one day. He said in Luke's Gospel 17, I want you to notice this. Somebody said, now we're not supposed to be undignified in church. Hey, let's just keep church real this morning. Let's realize where we come from and where we go. If I was you, I wouldn't get too excited. I mean, God just got you out of hell, that's all. And He's preparing you a mansion yonder in a glorified place. Gonna give you a turn me up this morning. Gonna give you a glorified body. And you're gonna sit there and go to sleep in church. I was preaching the other day in a well-known Bible college. One of the students was sitting there nodding off, going to sleep. I said, boy, if you was one of my preacher boys, I'd kick you right in your back seat for the glory of God. Sitting here taking up God's space, breathing God's air, spending somebody's money to go to Bible college. You don't come down here to go to sleep. You come down here to pay attention and learn about the workings and the movings of the Holy Ghost. Now Jesus saved 10 lepers. It's amazing to me how Baptist has got everybody quieting down. He said this in Luke 17, look for yourself. The Bible said in verse 12, as He entered in a certain village, there met Him 10 men that were lepers that stood afar off. Aren't you glad Jesus loves sinners today? And the Bible said they lifted up their voices and said, Jesus, Master, have mercy on us. When He saw them, He said to them, go, show yourselves to the priests. Came to pass as they went, they were cleansed. And I like this boy. I wish he's a member at Liberty Baptist Church. He would stir up our gifts that God has put in us. And He said, and one of them, when he saw that he was healed, he turned back and with a loud voice glorified God. Now watch this. This did not mess up Jesus. Look what he said. He fell down on his face at his feet, giving him thanks. He was a Samaritan. He was a Gentile dog. Jesus was a Jew. He was not supposed to have any dealings with Jews, what they thought. But our Jesus is a Gentile Savior as well. Because He loves the black and the white and the red and the yellow. And He loves the rich and the poor. And He came to pay a ransom for all. One man between God and men, the man, Christ Jesus, who paid a ransom for all. The Bible said, Jesus answered and said, were there not 10 of you boys? You know what He said? Didn't anybody get saved around here? Y'all look like you need some preaching in the new wing this morning. He said, hey! Didn't any of y'all get saved? I wonder when Jesus looks into our service, and man, last weekend, Memorial Day weekend, I'd rather fight 55 convicts than to preach on Memorial Day weekend. Everybody thinking about their sausage and their hamburger patties out there on the grill. When we gonna get out of here, Doc? I mean, it's 5 minutes to 12. I ain't even got lathered up yet, friend. It's 5 to 12 this morning. I hope you get quiet. I hope I see somebody frowning this morning. I'm gonna bring preaching right to your pew today. Boy, ain't it amazing. I wonder when the Lord looks over in the Liberty Baptist Church on Sunday morning, does He see anybody got saved? Now, I'm going to tell you this. You don't have to run around the building like your pastor does and lap it like a wild Apache. You ain't got to do that. But that's my style of worship. That's my mannerism. I'm an emotional creature. And so don't you knock it till you've tried it. Said He glorified God with a loud voice. Some of you say, turn the preacher down. Turn the preacher down. Turn the preacher down. You wished you had a butcher knife cut my throat. He said, one day anybody got saved. He said, they're not found that return to give glory to God save the stranger. I don't want to make fun of you this morning. But I want to tell you this, you may not run around, shout, and throw your hands up, run like somebody crazy. And there's a lot of folks doing this that have no idea what they're doing. But I'm going to tell you, Jesus is looking for somebody to give Him thanks and the adorations of praise the way He put you together. Now, Miss Flo don't run and shout. Her preacher does. She stayed with me here a long time. I don't know why a little loud, wild preaching bothers some of you. Amen. But you don't see her running shouting. But sometimes you'll see a tear come down her face. You don't see Miss Cormay running lapping the building. Her and Brother Donald, they're not high school seniors no more. What are you saying? Well, I'm saying Miss Cormay just cried a little bit. But ever how God's put you together, you ought to give it to Him for His honor and His glory. And you always remember this. When you see somebody acting like that, don't knock it till you've tried it. I sat up under a man one time. He said he was raised a Methodist. He had never been around old-time religion much, and people getting excited. Now, this is what I don't understand about y'all. You go down yonder and you'll pay a ticket to get in the ball game, and people all around you just acting crazy. And you know what? You expect that down there. You expect, get excited. Let me tell you, while these other places is getting a little Baptist youngins because the excitement's gone out of the church. You know why mom and daddies have died on the pew? I come up preaching under an old Methodist man one time. And he said, I went to a Baptist revival. He said, I've never been in that kind of environment. He said, there's people running, people shouting, people going to the altar crying. By the way, young families, you ought to take advantage of this because this is the greatest place in your life is the altar. And you know something? It's not what you've done. Don't point your finger at somebody coming to the altar and don't say they getting what they deserve, because if we really got what we deserve this morning, friend, this building to fall in on every one of us, but the grace of God. He said, I've never been around shouting, never been around emotion. You say, well, I ain't got no emotion. Why you holler at your wife? Ma'am, why you act like a Doberman Pinscher 7 days a week? I mean, we need to put a shock collar on you. You sitting there at the door and he's coming home. I mean, you got collar, you got everything going on. He said, you know, on Monday night, he said, I looked and analyzed the place. He said, well, you know, the Lord saved me. He said, I'm glad of that. He said, I looked around, nobody looking. He said, I got my hand up. He said, that felt pretty good. Said, nothing happened to me. It got pretty good. He said, Tuesday night, said, man, it got on again. Said, I got my hand up, and that felt pretty good. Nobody bothered me. Nobody pulled a snake out. He said, Wednesday night, I come back, and I messed up. He said, that thing got to rocking. And he said, I quit looking who was doing what. He said, I heard somebody a shouting and a waving, and I come to myself, and it was me. What are you saying, Pastor? I'm saying Jesus wrote in this Bible. Were there not 10 of you saved? You men ought to learn to say amen. That means even so. I agree with that. Amen. And ma'am, if your husband won't, you need to get in on it. Amen, preacher. I like this woman in Carolina sat behind me and Miss Renee this week. This is what she said. Amen, preacher. Amen, preacher. We need her around here leading people in amens. So I want to ask you this morning. If you're on a scale in a 5-6 range, 4 range, and preacher, I'm doing pretty good. I pay my tithes. I read my Bible some through the week. I don't start my days lying. I don't run around on my husband and wife. Preacher, I'm raising my young'uns, doing pretty good. Well, what did Jesus say about it? He said, I want you to be cold or hot. I often wondered why He said that. Why wouldn't He be pleased with us at a 5? Just in the middle. Now I want to give you this outline, and I want to get down to where I want to get to this morning. And I want to share this, first of all, this Laodicea. Look at this, and could I teach you something right quick? I know I've done run rabbits and time to quit, but I'm just now getting started. In Revelation 3:14, watch this. Now there were 7 churches that Jesus wrote to. This is the last one, Laodicea. And a lot of the authors will say this church started around 1900. But what happened to this church is what happened to the first church that I preached on last week. Somewhere they had left their first love, and it started to lean on them. And this is what happens. When things start leaning, you better fix it, because it'll fall before long. Now, watch this. Revelation 2, verse 1, to the angel of the church of Ephesus write. Of Ephesus write. There's the first church. Second church is in verse 8, of the church in Smyrna write. Then verse 12, the third church, the angel of the church in Pergamos write. Then in verse 18, he says, the angel of the church in Thyatira write. Then he says in chapter number 3 in verse 1, the angel of the church in Sardis write. Then he says that great Philadelphia church right before the big falling away in verse 7 of chapter 3. The angel of the church in Philadelphia write. Now it gets down to where we live today, the Laodicean church, which means power of the people. Look where they are, the only church that Jesus ever recorded like this. Look what he said. And to the angel of the church of the Laodiceans. It was their church. It wasn't his. It was theirs. You see, we see their description. They were a wealthy and a worldly enterprise. Well, I mean, so wealthy, but yet so worldly. They was a conglomerate in the community. I want to say this morning, and I hope that God will allow me to live till I can see it. I hope I can see 100 missionaries out of this place. And I would love to see this wall took out and a wing put in. And if God keep blessing, if you'll stay faithful, we're going to be able to see it. And while all that's going on, I'm going to try to do my job to remind us where we are. Because it don't matter how big you get, hon. If God ain't here, it ain't worth unlocking the door. You listen to me, young people. A lot of you come to church on Sunday morning. I wish you'd pick it up and get back on Sunday night and Wednesday. I wish you would, because I wish the best for you. I wouldn't be the man of God in your life for you if I wasn't always trying to challenge you. But let me tell you something. While you're here, and if you'll only give me one time a week to preach to you, I'm going to make the best out of it that I can. Because I'm going to tell you something. You need God in your life. You need a solid, fundamental church in your home that you can raise your children and support your marriage, that you could have things in this walk of life that only this book can provide for you. And it's not about how big your church gets. When people stood a while ago, I got to thinking, I thank God we're basically full on Sunday morning. I would love to see another 100 people come and we put that other wing on. And I think it's coming, but let me tell you something. If Jesus is not here, it's just going to be a worldly show. People come here and they sightsee and they look around because of the property. You've got to agree, God has blessed this place with a beautiful place to go to church. God's house ought to be the prettiest place in town. They drop the beggar off at the beautiful gate. It ought to be beautiful because of other reasons. I'm so, Brother Randall Deacons, I am so glad God has put something in my heart for this. I've been praying. God put something in my heart that I needed back. It's back. You're in trouble. We need a place where God is. We see their description. It was their church. It wasn't His church. It was theirs. The church of the Laodicean, that means power of the people. It was theirs. They called the shots. They didn't want a preacher to listen to God and lead them toward heaven. One old scholar I was reading about in Brother Joe in this church, and man, what a statement he had to say yesterday. Brother Driver, the old man of God, said the devil found out that he could not stop the church through persecution because it got bigger, so he just joined it. Sort of like the frog syndrome. Did you know if you'll get you a bucket of scalding water, I challenge you now, and you get you a live bullfrog and you throw him in that pot of boiling water, he'll bounce out of it. But if you put him in that lukewarm water like Brother Joe was talking about, he'll just sit there and tread water, and you can turn the heat up on him and cook him. That's what the devil's done to the Laodicean church. He's just put the mentality in there, I don't get excited about nothing. Don't get carried away, caught up in emotion. And this is where the devil will steal your blessing. Don't be emotional. That preacher's just emotional. Ain't it amazing? I go to the ball game, don't act like this. I mean, I sat in the ball game, you think I was a banker. I wouldn't care for some of you ball nuts if they let every air out of every ball in this country. Just don't do away with tireless golf balls. There's red cars and black cars. It's something for everybody. But I'm going to tell you, I just don't care nothing about going to a ball game. It's boring to me. I'd rather be around my refrigerator. My peanut M&M. Somebody say amen right there. My Moose Tracks ice cream. Praise God. I've got attention deficit disorder. That's why it tickles me. Some of y'all say, preacher, won't you just go relax? You ain't never lived with me. So we see it was their church, the church of the Laodicean. We ain't gonna let our preacher do that. We run this thing. Have you noticed there's not a name on nothing? You notice it ain't a name on the side of your pew? That's not your pew. That may be where you sit, but do you get up and change places sometime? Don't get in no cliques in the church. I done found this. When people always get bonded and set together and you make one family mad, they take four out with them. Give me five, boy. Ain't that good preaching? Give me five. Dead a boy. Isn't that right? Your little clique all sitting there and the preacher made them mad. Y'all come on, go with us. Where are you going? Oh, we're going to get stupid. We're going to get stupid. Hey, did I tell y'all? God will let you get stupid. Lord, these y'all going to have to keep me out of these Carolinas preaching. Just so refreshing to get around people that love preaching. We see their description. Miss Jude, I want you to sing me something this morning. And then we see their declaration. Verse 14, look what he says. He says, right, these things saith amen. The faithful and true witness. I like what one old fella said about that word amen. He's God's last word. You see, if you want to know what God's got to say, then this is what He said. He said in Hebrews 1:2, God, who at sundry or different times and in different manners spake in time past to the fathers by the prophets, hath in these last days spoken to us by His Son, whom He hath appointed heir of all things, by whom also He made the worlds. He's the living Word. You want to know how God's talking? He's talking out of this book. If it's not in this book, don't listen to it, because it don't mean nothing to God. He's the Amen. And you see, there's a declaration about Him. He's the Amen. He's the faithful and the true One. He's the beginning of the creation of God. It's not God created Him in the beginning, but He's the One in whom creation had its beginning. John 1, verse number 3, He has created all things. Jesus spoke this thing into existence. How? Because He's the Word. God used the Word. Now, declaration about Him. Then there's a declaration about them. They're neither cold nor hot. He said, I wish you was froze. Because you'd have a lot better opportunity to getting hot than it was if you're just middle of the road. No, you're okay. I'm not done yet. She done sung enough invitation to me, she just looks and says when it's time. I fished with a guy in bass tournaments for years, and it really bothered me, Brother Mike, what he said. It's when women preachers were coming along starting to pastor in the part of the country. And by the way, the Bible says the husband of one wife. That's not changed. So you can't make me think God's pleased with anything that goes against this book. And I don't give a rip who you are or what you say. If it ain't this book, it ain't right with God. And I know it's good people go there and play. I'm just making a statement. I know it's good people go to them places. But I'm going to tell you something this morning. I fished with this man. He was a tough guy. I mean, he was... We got talking about church one time, talking about women preachers. He said, well, I guess if a woman preacher come to our church, I'd just stay there. Well, why'd you say that? Because nothing matters no more. It don't matter about what this book says. It's what everybody else is doing. We see the declaration about Him, then about them. They're just fence straddled. They're formality. Just half-heartedness. Have you ever... The best analogy I know to give you is when it's golf Saturday or deer stand Saturday or bass boat Saturday and your wife says, would you paint the bathroom? Now, I know some of y'all get gung-ho about that. But I'm so half-hearted about it. She done it to me. And don't look if you ever come to our house. Brother Troy, I didn't paint the back of the door. You know why? My heart wasn't in it. I just wanted her. I wanted to cover up. Let her walk in there and say, oh, that's wonderful. You can go play now. You say, you hen-pecked preacher. You got hen-house ways yourself. I done lived long enough. Mama ain't happy. Ain't nobody happy, friend. Go catch your fish. But, buddy, you got something to pay when you get home.
Yes, sir.
It ain't worth it. Hey, sort of like that bulldog, brother driver, fighting that skunk. He could whoop him, but it wasn't worth it. Some of y'all need to learn to pick your battles. Amen, Brother Jeff? Half-heartedness. Oh, it's Sunday. 10 after 12. Let me ask y'all something. These little old babies coming down giving, does that not make you think about nothing? See, the devil's just come amongst the Laodicean people and had them to conform to the world and just be happy. And you know what they said? I'm going to cut this off because there's a lot more preaching there and I'm not even going to get to it. But he said this. He said, well, I'm going to tell you our problem is we have need of nothing. We got it going on. Okay, what if all that stops? What if God quit your job this week? What if He put your baby in Eggleston where one of ours was last Sunday? I remember some of you at an altar praying, begging God to help your children. And when God helped them, you hit or miss. You just really don't care. And I'm not whining because, Brother Mark, we're able to preach in the greatest time in America, but it's a hard time when people look and they just think so little of our Lord. Church people. You look here, folks. God's put you in one of the greatest churches in America. How many of you come from other places you had to vote 25 times to fix a sidewalk? If the air was down, you sat in there and sweated until the head deacon said it's okay to fix it. We don't do that here. As God provides, we follow Him. I don't even get to make the decisions here. I've got to mind Him. Did I tell you He loves you? Preached last Sunday on they'd left their first love. Not lost, they'd left it. Over there somewhere. But they could get back to where it was if they wanted it. Church, let's get out of the 4 and 5. When's the last time you've prayed at home? Daddies, I'd like to challenge your heart this morning. Father's Day's coming before long. I'd like to try to get ahead on the message, but I'd like to challenge you to have this place in your home. I know you're very busy. I don't take that lightly. But if you just find you a place somewhere at your house that's convenient that you'll get to, if you'll just spend some time doing this for your family and your church, for your preacher, for its leaders. Did you know Brother Randy's had to call on, how many people's here today? 300? Did you know Brother Randy's had to call on the deacons' wives just to teach Sunday school here because it's not enough people to do it? Something's missing. I go preach a meeting, I come back in this place on Wednesday, and it's amazing to me where your love's grown cold and just. And I know you've got to work. I'm not lambasting you. I'm just saying, take a look at where we are. Look where Jesus is at this church. One of the greatest paintings that's ever been painted was of this picture. I can't call the name of it. I knew the name last week. But a man painted this picture. And there was Christ knocking at the door. Many of you have seen it. And one of the men that seen the painting went to the artist and said, sir, you've missed something that's very important in your painting. I get it. I know that's Christ. I know that's who that's supposed to be. And that door, I realized that. But said, sir, there's not a handle on that door. He said, oh, that's on the inside. He said, see, it's up to you if you're going to open it to Him or not. He said, He stands at the door and knocks. Sinner friend, listen to me. Christ died for you and loves you. I don't think that, I won't call the name, but there was two families in Bowden. Brother Felton knows where they are. Broke my heart. These boys was coming home from work right out here in front of Verdon's Chapel one Friday evening. A car crossed the yellow line and killed them both. One in each car died. Young. Listen. you may not have next weekend. We don't know, but what we do know is Jesus stands at the door and knocks. And if any man would open the door, He'd come into him and sup with him. Can you imagine the church? He died for and he's so offended. Brother Marlon, he's on the outside, wanting in the place he died for. It'd be just like a man giving you a house and you living there and you wouldn't even let him come and visit. I guess this young lady's got one of the prettiest voices I've ever heard in music. But if it's going to take her to sing to get you off of a pew, then you've missed the sermon. Get out of your comfort zone. Get back to praying. Get back in the Word. Get back to witnessing and inviting and enjoying church again. And only God can do that in us. He's done it for me. I thank Him for it. And what I'm preaching to you is real, because it slips up on all of it. It slipped up on me. It slipped up on this preacher. It slipped up on this preacher. It slipped up on this choir man. It slipped up on this young preacher. It slipped up on us all. But somebody's got to remind us what this thing is about. You come this morning as my sister sings. You just mind Him. If you're here and lost and